You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go! It's
going to be fourth down. Last play of the game, barring a penalty.
It all comes down
to
this.
Own your action. Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors. Will
you
let this be taken away from you?
No, sorry.
No way.
You must go seize the
moment.
It's
going to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis. Touchdown, Ben Davis. The Giants win.
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis Football. I am honored.
When you hit the door, you're a Ben Davis Giant.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by Chuck Bear Carpenter Realtors. I'm here with WBDG General Manager John Easter, high school sports expert Jeff Robison, and obviously your Ben Davis Giants head coach, Coach Jason Simmons. Glad to have you guys on another episode, another great episode. Coach, get your second Mick win game, or game of the year. Win that one. You're 2-0 in the Mick with a win against Warren Central, 42-28. How'd last Friday night go for you guys?
Well, obviously, when you can go on the road and get a road win in our league, it says a lot about your team, says a lot about your football team in terms of senior leadership, in terms of your players and coaches. Felt like we earned it, and we had I think the first 14 and a half minutes of the game, 14, 15 minutes of the game, it was it wasn't the group that we were used to working with day in and day out. We got off to a pretty slow start. Obviously, we scored first and then gave up 21 straight, and certainly not we did it with some uncharacteristic things. We didn't have a real good rhythm offensively, gave up the special team score. Defensively, just never really got into a deep groove. I put our defense in a tough spot. And so, I think when you look at the first 15 minutes of the game and we're down 21-7, the best part about it was, there was zero sense of any panic or anything on our sideline. We just kept coaching and got our guys to keep playing hard. And, I think the leadership on our team really took over when we were down 21-7. Guys just looked each other in the eye. And we got into a rhythm offensively. When we got into a rhythm and got going offensively, our defense really stepped up, and felt the energy from the offense, got the ball back to them. Special teams were okay until late in the game. So, I felt like we did some good things in all three phases. We certainly left plenty to work on in all three phases. But there were some individuals, offensively, defensively, and on special teams, we felt like that had really good showings. You look at Ben Rudolph had a great night. He had two touchbacks, had a sky kick that he executed perfectly that still trying to figure out how we didn't recover. He was perfect on PATs. So, Ben had a really good night. And, I think that's been in the works because of the work he puts in from a technique standpoint in practice. He is a young man that is playing football. He's playing varsity soccer. And, he's got a heavy workload in the fall, and he's done an unbelievable job managing that, being very detailed with his work football-wise. And, it was good for him to see the fruits of his labor. And then we had some individual players offensively and defensively play really well. But, our defense continues to shine because the big guy up front, Cameron Davenport. And I think what you saw in that fumble recovery that kind of sealed the win for us was a football gods paying him back because, I don't know that there's very many players in our league that get as much attention from opposing offensive lines as he does. And, he's got two guys on him every play that are holding on for dear life. And, he has such an impact on our defense that's non-statistical. And so it was great for him to kind of get that reward and get that fumble recovery. And I thought he played extremely well on Friday. And, offensively, we just proved how explosive we could be. We saw a junked up box with some man coverage behind it. And, Lincoln, Marcus, Thomas did a really nice job connecting. I'd probably the unsung hero of our football, from Friday, maybe Destin Beecham. It's a one score game, and Thomas fumbles, the ball just slips out of his hand when he opens up his hands to throw it, and Destin runs their linebacker down. Our defense goes out on a short field and gets it, causes a missed field goal. And I thought that really kind of turned the tide, gave us a chance to get a 14 point lead, and it was a lead that we never gave up.
Coach, you mentioned you struggled finding rhythm early, but
talk about the rhythm that you're finding in some of your passing plays, particularly on some fade routes and some little post or short post routes there, or slants that you're getting. Talk about some of the timing that your team has really developed between quarterback and receiver this year.
Yeah, you know, I think it's a testament to Coach Small, Coach Rugen, Coach Ferris. Those guys drill it every day in practice. You know, they drill so many universal routes for us. We're a little unconventional offensively in that we don't have to run something in practice to call it in a game. And, you know, I'm sure there's some football people whose eyes would pop out of their head, or like, you know, how do you do that? Well, we do it because we have so many universal things in our offense that if you're really intentional with your practice reps and how you go about getting reps, you know, getting things coached up and repped in practice, you can call things that you may not otherwise call in practice, and the guys are going to be comfortable with it. They understand windows. They understand where they need to be and when. And I think some of that was a byproduct of it. You know, we were able to adjust in the flow of the game. Thomas did a good job making sure we were in the right play at the line of scrimmage based on the defensive look we were getting. And the timing that those guys have, you know, showed up on Friday, just the rhythm and the timing, because, you know, once we got hot in the second quarter, they were tough to slow down. And, you know, both Murph and Reese were up over 100 yards, and a lot of it came in chunk plays. And it's, you know, in order to hit those chunk plays, you got to have some timing and rhythm, and guys have to be on the same page. And so I think it's a credit, you know, when you look out at practice, there, it's no secret, you know, when Thomas, Link, and Marcus are three of the last people off the field, like, there's a reason those things can kind of flow and you can get into a rhythm. So, you know, that helped us in a night where, you know, we were inconsistent in the run game. We had some holes we didn't take advantage of. We missed a couple of calls as an offensive staff. So, you know, we didn't get into the rhythm in the run game like we wanted to. You know, but you get into games like that and they can't take everything away. And you know, we were certainly pleased with how the passing game went.
Coach, when you look at how your team played Friday night, you talked a little bit about the chemistry there that has developed. But that's come in a relatively short period of time, with Thomas Gadkowski coming over last year, being with the team now for that long, but not playing necessarily on the field. And there's a difference between practice and playing and working out with the team and actually getting out there in games. So what have you done, or what have they done, really, to kind of gel together as a group? Because I think Thomas even referred to it in one of the interviews that, you know, I haven't known these guys all that long, but yet you watch them play it seems like they've known each other for a long time.
Yeah, they've been around each other for a year, and you know, when the word that I use to describe them is, or the phrase is, they're football junkies. You know, Marcus is clearly known in our program. He's a guy that he carries his cleats around with him everywhere. He's got a pair of gloves with him everywhere. If he can find a field to go work and run routes and get some work in, he'll find any type of field to go be able to do it. And Marcus, Thomas, Link, all those guys, you know, they'll stay after practice, and Link stayed after today and caught 50 balls. You know, Marcus stays after, catches balls. Like, it's just that unspoken time, that unwritten time that they've been together over the last year, where that chemistry does develop. You know, it was not uncommon in the springtime for, you know, to go out during, you know, while track's practicing and Thomas and Lincoln are out on the field all by themselves. Nobody told them to go, but those guys wanted to develop that chemistry. They want to be, you know, they want to strive to be elite. And you're starting to see that a little bit right now, is, you know, as they get more game action together and they, you know, they get a deeper understanding of what teams are trying to do to us from a coverage standpoint.
Now, Coach, I noticed a little bit in the game, there's some moments where Coach Kirshner had his hands in the air, just, and with players, and I noticed one time he was holding up 12, meaning you can only have 11 guys on the field, and they had 12. There's a couple times where they had 12 on the field. How did you guys capitalize on those moments of Warren Central's mental errors on the field?
Well, they actually had 13 the first time.
13?
They stopped us for no gain, and we're looking up, and it's like, wait a second, you know, they got 13 guys on the field. So we went to the head linesman on our sideline, and it's, you know, it's like, hey, they have 13 on the field. He's like, we screwed up. We yes, you're right. Nobody came off, so we just got the next play, because, you know, when you're a no huddle team, you still have time to sub. It's not like the NFL or college where they hold the snap with the center official. That doesn't take place, you know, at our level. And so once the snap is imminent, meaning we're lined up in an offensive formation, they have to have 11 on the field, right? If one's trying to vacate the field, you still have an opportunity to run that player off. He has a chance to get off the field before the ball snapped. But if they're in for, if we're in formation and they're in formation, then the officials can throw a flag for illegal participation saying the snap is imminent. And so we're standing there with the head linesman, and it was like, you know, we got to hurry up, get in formation. So we were able to get into formation quick enough. They threw the first flag for 13. They took one off, got into formation again, and then they threw the second flag for having 12. And so we were able to get a free first down. We were able to get a free first down out of it, which, you know, anytime you get a free 10 yards, you take it and run. And, you know, all it did for us was it allowed our guys just to kind of take a little bit of a deep breath because it was early in a possession. We had just gotten stopped on first and 10. It was second long. And then, you know, we click off two penalties for 10 yards and we have a fresh set of downs. And it gave us a chance then on the plus side of the field to work the ball down the field to score.
Coach, it seemed like there were moments that you were still running into issues with fumbling and the ball hitting the ground a few times during the night. How much of that was Warren Central's doing, and how much of that do you feel was just improper techniques on your side?
I think the first fumble was a little bit of both. You know, it was fourth and two. We were trying to punch it up in there. You know, they have a three-year starter in Lee Alexander that made a heck of a hit on Elijah Price and knocked that ball out. That led to their second score. Second fumble of the night, the snap was a little bit wide. We were trying to ball handle a counter, and it was worst case scenario of we got this play called. This is the worst possible place the snap could be in order for us to be able to run a clean backfield exchange. We put that one on the deck. And then the third one, Thomas went to split his hands to separate and throw, and the ball just slid right out of his hands. And so really three different incidents, probably three different causes, you know. It's something that was important. Ball security was a point of emphasis of ours last week in practice. It's continued to be a point of emphasis for us. You know, we can't continue to put our defense in that situation. You know, our defense defended three short fields in the fourth quarter and did a remarkable job doing it. You know, obviously we gave up the block punt for one of the short fields, gave up a long punt return, aided by a 15-yard penalty on the back end of it for another short field. And then, you know, put a ball on the deck again. And so, you know, for our defense to step up and have three short fields in the fourth quarter with a 14-point lead and hold the fort on all of them speaks to their mental toughness and their ability to make a play in the clutch, which I thought showed some growth for us from the previous week.
No, I noticed I did see Jabril Muhammad taking a lot of the snaps at center instead of Calvin Sibley. Talk about that, how that kind of was a point of the game. I mean, Gotkowski's got another guy completely behind, in front of him. What a! I know there was a low snap you talked about that led to a fumble, but how was that kind of over the course of the game?
Jabril did an unbelievable job. He took every snap at center. You know, we actually repped four centers throughout the offseason just because it's hard. You know, you never want to go into a season with one predominant center. You know, we have four guys right now that we could play at that position, you know, and they were tiered for us. Jabril did an outstanding job when he was there in the off season. He did an outstanding job taking snaps at center in the summertime, and so it was a move that we felt comfortable with. It was a move that we felt like we needed to make at the time. And Jabril owned it and had a great game at the center spot. You know, we started three sophomores on offense Friday. Jeremiah Finch stepped into the starting lineup on the offensive line and played, you know, really played a daggone good game for his first career varsity start in a rivalry game. So certainly gives us something to build on. We got some depth up front on the offensive line that we need to continue to bring along and build. But, you know, for that group to have a different starting five for the first time this year up front, they played extremely well.
And that's going to do it for our first half of Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by Chuck Bear Carpenter Realtors. We're going to go to a short break and then come back and talk about the upcoming homecoming game against Lawrence North on Indy's Giant 90.9.
Let's be honest. The National Symphony may not be in his future, but he wanted to try violin. So you said yes because you love him. And if you love him that much, love him enough to make sure he's buckled up and in the back seat. Find out more about keeping your kids safe in your vehicle at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Show them you love them. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Help protect your family from flu this season by taking three easy steps. First, get yourself and your family a flu shot. It's quick and can protect you all season. Second, take everyday actions to help prevent the spread of germs like flu. Cover your cough, stay home from work or school if you're sick, and wash your hands often. Third, there are drugs that can treat flu illness. These work best when started early. Learn more at cdc.gov/fightflu.
Now back to Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by Bear Realtor.
And welcome back to Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by Chuck Bear Carpenter Realtors. Now, Coach, you're heading into another week. You're 3-2 on the season. You're 0-2 at home, but 3-0 on the road. Now, typically, a lot of teams don't do super well on the road, but you guys are kind of the opposite starting off this year. How big is it to get a home win, that first home win of the season?
Well, it's huge for us. One, because it's the only game we got this week, you know, and we got an opportunity to go stay 3-0 in the conference, to get the 3-0 in the conference, stay undefeated in the conference. We anticipate having a great homecoming crowd this Friday. Our Purple Rain section has been lights out. You know, the home environment here has been outstanding. You know, for the Brownsburg game and the Center Grove game, the environment's been great. We got to finish one of these games here at home and try and thank our home fans for that. You know, they've done a great job the first 2 weeks. You know, we fully expect them to show up. It's supposed to be a beautiful night on Friday weather-wise. And, you know, we want another great home crowd. We want the opportunity to try and reward that group, you know, that's been so supportive of us and that's had our back all year long. We want to try and give them something to be happy about and be excited about and give them a homecoming win for all the alumni coming back. So, you know, it's easy to say you're 3-0 on the road. We did schedule buses just so we could drive around the west side for a little bit on Friday before with some of our extra time. But we just got to take care of us. You know, we've been in both home games. We've had opportunities late in the game, and it's just an opportunity of trying to get better, continue to grow, and find ways to finish those close games. And so we showed some of those signs on Friday, but we need to continue to evolve and get better and make sure that we try and reward our home fans, you know, because they have been so good. The environment has been great. The band in the end zone has been great. The Diamondettes, the Purple Rain, the alum, the fans. I mean, it's been a great environment to play in, and we want to try and give them a huge thank you on Friday.
Coach, there were days that Lawrence North was one of the teams that everyone else in the MIC sort of looked at. This is our easy win, easy week here. That's no longer the case under Coach Mallory. Talk a little bit about what you see in this Lawrence North team.
Yeah, you know, when you look at them on film, they're extremely aggressive. Defensively, they have an aggressive mindset schematically. They like to bring a lot of pressures. They have a very athletic and long secondary that's very disruptive at the catch point. I think their secondary may be the strength of their defense, but their box players are so active and so athletic that they can be really disruptive, especially with their scheme. I think when you look at them offensively, their offensive skill players are explosive. You know, their quarterback and tailback are a dynamic pair. Both of them played last year. But, you know, both of them were difference makers in our league a year ago. And so they're going to be a handful. You know, I think their special teams are sound. We look at them in the kicking game. You know, their kicker and punter does a really nice job with ball placement. He has the ability to hit the deep ball on kickoffs and can create touchbacks, which gives you a long field offensively. So they're an athletic, disruptive team that's going to test us in a lot of different ways on Friday. And so we got to make sure from a discipline standpoint we know and understand the scheme and we can get ourselves in a position to go be explosive on our own end.
Coach, kind of going back to the Warren Central game, their quarterback was able to do pretty well in the RPO against you, especially running the ball on the ground. I think he had close to 200 yards. What do you do to make sure those things – don't happen again here against Lawrence North and the rest of the season?
Yeah, it really comes down to discipline. Now, that young man is a heck of a playmaker. You know, we get to see him the next 2 years, and that won't be the funnest thing in the world to prepare for. You know, you look at he had five explosive runs of 12 or more yards on Friday, and four of the five were aided by bad gap fits schematically for us. So guys not getting where they need to be. We got dented at the point of attack with one, and our down lineman took our linebacker out of it. We had bad secondary fits in the run game. We had a spy on one of them that didn't squeeze the air out. So there's some things that, you know, as much as you want to be excited about winning on the road in the conference, if you're not honest with yourself, then those things are going to rear their ugly head and pop back up. And so, you know, for us, you know, we got to be honest with ourselves. Like, these are areas, these are points of emphasis for us this week. And, you know, we've been really intentional about coaching and talking to our guys about having a goal for the week, you know, an individual goal and then a unit goal. And so, you know, for us, you know, from a defensive line standpoint, it's making sure we have gap sound discipline, right? Linebackers, it's making sure your run fits are correct. And then in the secondary for us this week, it has been about run fits, because if you don't fit the run, you're going to give up some explosives, especially with the way we're defending things right now. So, like, we have to be sound. We have to be more sound than what we were on Friday in those instances. You know, you give up five explosive runs to the quarterback. You know, thankfully, nobody else really hurt us. You know, we dodged a little bit of a bullet there in terms of some of the plays we made defensively. So, you know, you look up, we gave up 28 points. One was a kickoff return. One was a short field because we went for it on fourth and two and didn't get it. And then, you know, our defense gave up two long quarterback runs. So we fit those right. We handle things, you know, maybe it's a different position scoreboard wise. But, you know, I think that's the nature of our league, too. If you make a mistake defensively, there's enough playmakers and athletes in this league that they could be scoreboard changing plays. And, you know, we saw that last Friday, and it's been a point of emphasis for us so far this week in practice.
Now, moving over to from the defensive side to the offensive side. The two leading sack leaders at Lawrence North are Jaden Johnson and Carter McKinstry, both linebackers. How do you kind of work with the offensive line coming into Friday on getting them to kind of drop back into coverage more instead of rushing Thomas?
It's the nature of their scheme. When you look at them defensively on film, they're really aggressive. They're aggressive, and they bring a lot of different blitz looks. They like to bring second level guys, whether it's four man pressures or five man pressures. They like to move their front post snap. And so really it all comes down to taking what they give us. And it sounds so cliche-ish, but, you know, for us, we have to win in real time. And, you know, there's some things, you know, on film that we can look at and give to our guys as indicators that we need to make sure we're locked in on, that can give us an idea of where those pressures are coming from. And at the same time, you know, we have to know a couple of different things. We have to be able to get out of bad play calls at the line of scrimmage. Okay, and that's going to be on our quarterback. We have to be able to know and understand, you know, where the running back needs to fit into protection. We need to know where the hot route is and get the ball out on time, right? So there's some layers to our offense that our quarterback's going to have to be able to execute on Friday that, you know, he needs to be locked in on. And so, you know, for us, it's that communication piece between our offensive line and our quarterback so we can win in real time and continue to be effective offensively.
Coach, a win on Friday night would give you three conference wins in a smaller MIC conference. Talk about really the importance in terms of your chances for a MIC title this season.
It's going to be like my weekly disclaimer. I still don't like the fact Carmel and Center Grove aren't in our league, but you know, for us, it's, you know, we've placed a huge priority on getting a little bit better every day. There, you know, that the goal-driven process has helped us, you know, keep our focus narrow. And so we know with the outcome Friday, if we go and we take care of our home fans, give them something to celebrate at the end of the night, then, you know, we're going to have an opportunity to be 3-0 in the MIC. Would keep us in a first-place tie, I think. And so, you know, you got to take these things one day at a time, and you got to know what's at the back end of it, right? We're not naive enough to say, we're not even thinking about that at all. That's not true. But with a five-game mixed season this year, which is different than what we've had in the past, you know, there's even more importance on trying to be the best version of yourself every Friday so we can continue to stay in the race and try and hoist that MIC trophy at the end.
I think Jeff hit on this earlier with Lawrence North and just the way their program has switched around, because, you know, I've told this story before. We've had years covering Lawrence North where they've had 30 players on their roster, You know,
70-7 when we were over there.
And I think the game down at Lucas Oil dropped 70 on them. It's not that way anymore. What has Coach Mallory done to change the culture there and put themselves in a situation where they've now beaten Ben Davis 2 years in a row in close games by a total of 5 points, but they've beaten Ben Davis 2 years in a row where before they'd beaten Ben Davis twice in all the years that you played them. What has Coach Mallory done to instill that new culture?
Well, I think he's done a great job trying to recruit Lawrence Township. You know, it's a tricky district. It's a two high school district. But he's really active in their community. He does an unbelievable job, reaching out and tapping into the young people in Lawrence Township. He's a magnet for kids. You know, you look at him and he's coaching track, he's coaching football. Just his personality alone, lends kids to want to play for him and want to play hard for him. He's obviously built that up, over his time at Lawrence North. I think he's the longest tenured coach in our conference right now, outside of Coach Moore Center Grove. And so, when you look and, you look historically, it's taken probably more time than he wanted to, but, he's got that thing rolling. They're competitive week in and week out. They have good football players week in and week out. And, obviously they have two players that have contributed to Indiana University season, starting 2-0. He's got one in the National Football League playing for the Packers right now. So, he's had some talent. He's groomed some talent. He's developed talent. He's coached talent. All the while, they continue to produce players that are really daggone good football players.
Now, Coach, homecoming game coming up, like you said, big game. We talked about this earlier with the home crowd. But what are your kind of final thoughts for the home crowd showing up for this game? I know it's going to be a big game, and all the home games have been. You've been playing tough teams, Brownsburg, Center Grove. But with this being your first home MIC game, it's the first home conference game. Obviously, like you said, you're upset that Carmel and Center Grove aren't in the MIC. But it's the first home conference game. How are you feeling about that?
It doesn't change for us. When you look at our schedule, if you get caught up in things that are not specific to, trying to do everything you can to get a little bit better and to put yourself in a position to be the best version that you can be on Friday, then, you're wasting time in some respects, right? We're excited for homecoming. It's been a charge of mine since I've been fortunate to be here as the head football coach to get our alumni back, to get our alumni more involved in our program. We have alumni that are everywhere that are doing a lot of great things, and just to get them around our players and get them back involved in our program is important to me. This is another opportunity for us to put a good football team on display in front of a great home crowd, and for the alums to see our players and to take an interest in our players and our program and their program, the ones that were a part of it growing up and coming through. And so that part's really exciting, and I want our players to be around those alums and get to meet them. And we'll continue to bring him back on campus. But we're excited to be at home. We're excited to have a great home crowd. We're excited for the opportunity to put the Ben Davis uniform on and be the best version of ourselves on Friday.
At the same time, you mentioned it's homecoming. I know Coach Kirshner used to sometimes be a little worried with all the extra activities and distractions of homecoming week. How do you look at homecoming?
You got to trust your players. For us, we got great leadership across the board from our senior class, from our junior class. Well, we have a great deal of maturity, and right now, it has not been a distraction for us. We're blessed. I say we're blessed right now to have a group of young men that understand the goal. They like being around each other. They love playing ball. And so, they've done a really good job holding each other accountable and driving the standard of Ben Davis football home throughout the week in practice.
All right, and that's going to do it for Inside Ben Davis Football this week. Obviously, homecoming game coming up, big game for the Giants. Pregame starts at 6:15, and kickoff is at 7. Max Gilley and Kyle Stout will be on that call. So tune in right here, Indy's Giant 90.9. Once again, this has been Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by Chuck Baird, Carpenter Realtors.
This has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.